Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got a great in-studio guest tonight, Ms. Stacy Spink, the CEO from Environmental Development Group. She is going to provide us with a lot of great information, not just about what Environmental Development Group does, but about what it's like to be a female CEO of a company that provides services all over the United States. She's going to talk about the services that they provide and about customer satisfaction and your approach, now that I can act like you're really here, Stacy, your approach to creating a successful corporate culture, because there's a lot of moving parts. So thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me.
I love it. And please don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. And remember that I am live every Saturday at 12 Pacific Standard Time now, since we sprang forward and fell backward, at Mrs. Green's World, where I interview guests from all over the country on every aspect of sustainability that you can imagine. So, Stace, let's start. Please explain for all the world's here, because we're international, the magnitude and scope of the services you provide, because I don't think anybody would actually have top of mind, what does Environmental Development Group do?
Environmental Development Group, we're a commercial contracting firm that's all over the nation. And I can't really, you know, when you say core service, the best way to explain it is, you know, the strip malls that you see, the industrial parks, the big box retailers, the malls. Our company provides facilities maintenance services from the counter to the curb. So you need concrete repaired, you need paving repaired, you need landscape maintenance, plumbing, you know, countertops, remodeling, all those things that are involved in retail centers.
And the key to me, and why my interest in Mrs. Green, besides being an entrepreneur, is the environmental part. And you have been doing environmentally conscious and sustainable solutions for your clients since you started. And not everybody was, some people are late to the party in touting that, but obviously it was something that you cared about from the time you got started. So can you just elaborate a little bit on what that means?
Well, we got into sustainability for many reasons, but the core reason was one of our major customers came to us about a decade ago and said, this is our plan, this is our mantra, you can accept it. If you don't want to accept it, then there's the door.
So there you go.
And there you go. But we liked that. We liked those ideas. And when they presented that to us, we've always been very forward thinking. They brought ideas and suggestions to us, and we ran with it. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the services that we provide, for instance, you know, landscaping, they asked us for alternative methods of providing landscaping, not just xeriscaping, but basically using recyclable materials in our landscaping. So we've done experimental things before people even thought of synthetic grass. We were out there looking for a market for that. We've also done installed gravel that is basically made out of old used tires that are recycled, and mulch. It just looks like it's gravel. It's not really that. You pick it up and it's really light. You know, we install weather track timers that are actually run by a satellite system, and we install those all day long. We were one of the first companies actually out in California to have certified technicians out in the field doing that.
And what does that mean? When you say the weather tracking,
That is a brand name.
So, WeatherTrack.
And it's has a satellite receiver, and basically runs the irrigation. It lets, when the irrigation system is faulty, there's a notification that is sent to a client 24/7. It goes to a call center. It comes to our office, and then we dispatch a crew. So the minute
there's a leak in the water.
Exactly.
Because it could go on for days. I had no idea. So that's really an environmental service.
And I could go on and on about all the things that we've done that are sustainable. And we offer both options. I mean, it's not always the most cost-effective means. to install something that's sustainable, what we always have those options. And we've done combinations. We've done strictly sustainable. We've done all kinds of things.
It's what the customer wants. And I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in preparing for the show is it's pretty phenomenal to me, and it's not a pro or anti-Walmart stance, but they are in business. They are the biggest business in the world. So let's pay attention. Let's see what they're doing. They can be major game changers based on what they do with selling organic products, with creating green buildings and building green and their LEED certification. So can you tell us a little bit about, to me, it's like the Walmart story that you shared with me is a metaphor for entrepreneurs and good business people when you got a chance to go and present to them in Arkansas.
Well, I think that the key as far as our company, and that kind of goes back to our corporate culture. We've always been forward thinkers. I mean, someone throws out a suggestion, and we, before there was actually Google and you could Google all these things, we actually went and researched them out.
Was there life before Google?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
But you know, we would research the options and we would bring them to our customers and communicate with them and say, you know,
what a concept.
Yeah. And say, I mean, it's basic. It's like goes back to,
but everybody,
you know,
doesn't
human
do it.
Relationships.
So I didn't mean that in any joking way. A lot of people forget that, okay, we got a contract, we're just doing it, but they don't communicate with their clients.
Right. No. And that's, yes, but we've always been very fortunate. And I think within our corporate culture that exists, not just as our customers, you know, our business partners, but also employee to employee, employee to supervisor.
That's where
always,
it starts.
Yeah, and we've always had great communication, and we've always been able, I think, to bounce ideas off of each other and tell each other when it's too much or it's the wrong idea or that we don't think that that's the direction that we can go.
So whose idea was it to go and do this out-of-the-box presentation to them as clients to let one of your customers know what you were doing for them and what your customer satisfaction standards were? And
I just think I made a commitment this year that I really needed to travel and I really needed to bring my managers face to face with the people that they had been dealing with for years. So I had some people that were working within the company. Collectively, we have 70 years of the LEED managers, 70 years of construction experience, commercial construction experience. And they weren't meeting their contacts in the field. And I just thought that that was so unrealistic for us as a company to believe that in this day and age, although technology is such a vast part of what we do, that face-to-face moment isn't important anymore.
So, I think people are starving for that.
Exactly.
I think we're so used to looking at the big black box called the computer and texting and Facebooking. And, you know, Mr. Green occasionally says, why do you keep texting that person? Why don't you just pick up the phone and call them? Mm-hmm. So I think people are starving for that. So,
yeah,
so are customers.
I definitely agree. And going along with that, in our second and third meeting of the year, of course, you know, you go out and see your customers and you run out of things to say sometimes. And so I thought back and I thought, you know, some of these client contacts, I have actually been calling on the company longer than they've been there. So I think that somewhere in the translation, it's like I thought they all need to know this from square one, you know, day one. If they don't want to hear it, then they'll tune me out. But I want to, you know, make this call on every customer that we currently have. And that's what I decided to do. And I just went, gathered up information, threw it around to a lot of different managers and said, you know, that was probably one of the most important things I did this year too, besides face-to-face contact, was went back to managers and employees and said, what are we doing right? But more importantly, what are we doing wrong?
What are we doing wrong and how do we change it?
I had employees that had been with us for 7 years thinking that they were getting fired because they were going to tell me what we were doing wrong. And I was like, no, I'm actually interested.
I care. I'd like to fix this.
And I had the best ideas come from those meetings with those employees. And that's what generated all the information for the presentation. And that was probably one of the most powerful statements when I sat down in front of these customers was, this isn't just my information. This is information from many different people at many different sources. And then I really honed in on that particular line of work that we did for that customer. And I could see the lights going on.
It was a world tour kind of, because I follow you on Facebook, and every time I turned around, you were someplace else. A lot of frequent flyer miles.
That's right. But it's all good, and it was well worth it. And I don't think that it was just worth it for myself, because when I do things like that, it's such a renewal in everything that I do and what the company does. But I could also see that the people that were with me, the managers, when we left those meetings, they were so excited, not just about the response, but they were proud of what we had done. Because a lot of times you get lost in the day-to-day grind of everything that's going on. And when you look back at what we've done just in the last 5 years, it's like, wow, you know. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We made a lot of mistakes. And that's a lot of what I think really brought our customers back to the table, is that we went in and said, we did this wrong, and we did this wrong, and this, we did this wrong, but this is how we're going to solve those problems.
I think that's priceless. I think that's absolutely and positively priceless. So many times you see big, big, big goofs in the media, and you think, if they would just say, we goofed, we're sorry, we're going to fix it, instead of all the smoke and mirrors. So I think that that's absolutely and positively priceless.
Right.
So what other kinds of things did you include in your presentation? Lots of facts about the services you provide.
The services that we provide, pictures of their actual job project sites, so they could see, because they see many pictures every day, have lots of email transmissions, completion paperwork, but we took the best of the best, gave them befores and afters, talk to them about the sustainable things that we're doing at their particular projects. Talked about that. And, you know, I think that also at the end of the presentation, we kind of reviewed the things that were important to us. Important to us and also important to our customer. And what we called that is, you know, aligning our goals. So that was key as well. And then we stuck in the very end, a program that we have called Pay It Forward. And that, I've gotten some great response,
talk about that. That's one of my key questions, because I'd love to go into a little bit more about your core values. And I said to you, and this is absolutely the authentic truth, when you walk into your headquarters here, it feels good, and you can't fake that. You can't feign sincerity or a really good corporate culture. People are relaxed. You do a lot of fun things. So talk about your whole concept of paying it forward, because any entrepreneur listening or budding entrepreneur, hopefully it's one of their core values too. It's one of the things I love about your company.
Well, Pay It Forward started really in my mind, because we had a lot of disastrous things happened this year that we had to come through. I mean, to be honest. And when it got to October, it was clear that we were going to make it through everything that we had gone through in that year. And I thought that rather than everybody still focus on everything that we had left behind, that basically what we needed to do is do something good. Do something good as a group for someone else. Unexpected, not planned, not canned, just doing it. And so we chose a few projects together, kind of put those out there, did some brainstorming, and decided that we would do a donation to Goodwill Industries.
And the employees were involved.
Right.
I mean, a bunch of your employees showed up.
So and it was all volunteer.
Big collection, right.
So it wasn't like if somebody didn't feel like they wanted to go, they didn't have to go, because, you know, we went to Boys and Girls Club. You know, we all went and played games with them for the day. And it doesn't have to be something that, you know, we've worked in the homeless shelter. It doesn't have to be something that is...
It's not a big high-profile charity that you picked in every case.
And it wasn't something that we, you know, we were constantly doing press releases. It was basically for us. It was for us to give back. It was for us to feel good about what we're doing as a company. And I've always promoted that. We've done that since our very first year at Christmas. We always practiced community service. And I just think that it's just so key, because there's so many people out there that not just need help, but need to know that other people are out there to help them.
And it's not just about writing a check. I think that's huge too. You don't just write a check. You get people engaged. Now, there's another factor that you've included as a core value in your corporate culture, and I would call it the F factor. You have a lot of fun. And I unfortunately had to miss pajama day, where all your team wears their pajamas to work. We had a pajama Christmas in the Mrs. Green family, and it was so much fun for everybody to wear their pajamas. We all got new pajamas for my daughter. So tell me about things, it's so important to me because I have a fun, informative green talk show. You have to make it fun too. So tell me about Pajama Day. It was State of the City with the mayor and I couldn't come. I couldn't go there in my pajamas.
Next year.
Yes.
Jammy Day started about 8 years ago. And really that was my response to a lot of people doing this dress down grunge. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to have a day where we can actually just all wear pajamas and slippers. And that's what we're going to do. And I decided I wanted to do it on Valentine's Day because at that time there was a lot of single women working for us. And I thought, you know, we just need to make this fun and lighthearted for everybody.
Not a lingerie day though, a pajama day.
I did have one person one time that wore lingerie with a robe, but I was very shocked. I was very shocked. But you know, Jammy Day has just been, it's just a hugely fun day. I mean, we wear our jammies and I think that people like it to see, you know, the supervisor and especially
everybody. It's the everybody. Great. Yes. It's,
everybody it's participates. And we've done a dessert contest also. I mean, 1 year we really got into it. I don't know what we were thinking, but maybe we didn't have a lot of fun for a long time.
Well, now you have another F going on, the focus on fitness, which yes. You could talk about. Like, I went there one day and everybody was running off to the gym to kill themselves.
Right. And that started, that was our, we had our first actual formal managers meeting, which we've never done. And I don't know why. We have a lot of meetings where we collectively meet as a group, but I really wanted to do something this year that was, this actually goes back to employees really knowing each other and getting to meet face to face. And I guess you're tying that into me for me because I really haven't thought about that. But I had one employee that I know everybody because I travel that had started with us 7 years ago in California and been promoted, and he'd never met the people in New Mexico and Tucson. So we brought everybody together. They came out to the Westin La Paloma. We had a manager's meeting. And then that night we did a casino night at my house. And that was actually, that was a blast.
I bet that was a blast. I've seen you at another casino night, and I can guarantee we're both a blast at those things. It was really fun.
Yes, that is true. We have no shortage of fun, that's for sure. But at that manager's meeting, really the theme was, you know, I was so appreciative of everybody in the company in the past year and everything that they put forward just to make us successful. And that was a thank you. So we met, and, you know, my wish for them was to be the best they can be. And it doesn't start at work. I've never believed that it does. You know, it starts with yourself. It starts right. with your family.
Yes.
And then it's work. And work gets the benefit of all those great things that are going on.
And you spend a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But what about, to me, there's an overriding sense of the core values of the corporate culture and the things that, you know, I believe what goes around comes around. So how do you do this when you have multiple sites? I think that becomes one of the biggest challenges. You don't just have somebody next door. You have to travel. Is it the employees that you expect to carry the banner? How do you know it? Do they have pay it forward initiatives in their locations? So talk about what it's like to be the manager, because you can't be everywhere all the time, and you have to ensure, because the buck stops with you.
Right. You have to just, you know, as a manager, you have to ensure that all the people that are, you know, reporting to you know the culture, live the culture, and feel it.
And so buy they can, in and believe
and buy
it.
In, and so they can pass that on to the people that they supervise. And I don't like to use that word because they really work together.
It's really a team.
Yeah.
You really promote
it really
the concept
is. And
of
I just,
teamwork.
I've never liked that. So I tell people I work with this person, not like I'm their supervisor or their director. We've just always practiced that being a
it's
team.
It's so the right way to go.
And we are. You know what? I tell you, I make mistakes and they cover me all the time. I am not perfect and we're not perfect and we admit that.
And you accomplish things as a team. No one person ever does. I think that's definitely one of my core values in the Mrs. Green team. What about the, you know, you have to supervise from afar. You create this esprit de corps. And then in terms of their training or their relationship with clients, how do you do the check and balance? And are there challenges with doing that? Because you've regrouped. And there's a really injection that I think you have to keep mm-hmm. doing. But in terms of ensuring that customer client satisfaction, because it's a competitive world out there right now.
Yeah. We've always had that side of the business in place. And just that's actually
what a great thing to say.
That's we've just expanded on it. So that side, the administration side, you know, documentation, you know, that's always existed. So there, that's never been a challenge for us.
There is a quality assurance component that's key, especially with the stuff that you do that really is quite measurable. And what about, this is going a little bit deeper into the entrepreneurial spirit, which it's one of my favorite words, and I wish everybody was an entrepreneur because that's being...
Everybody is. They just don't know it.
I agree. I totally agree. Find your inner entrepreneur. Maybe we could start a radio talk show about that.
At 2 a.m.
But yeah, at 2 a.m, like live chit-chat with Stacy and Gina. Tell me about aha moments along the way. I've definitely had them. Do you have any that stick out? Because you said very honestly, last year, it was the year from hell for a lot of people. And I can say that on the air because it's not monitored. The year from heck sounds really weird. But it was the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, 5 years have been the most challenging economic times that I have ever seen and hopefully will ever see. And you not only survived, you're thriving. So what are some, do you have any little gems or precious aha moments that you'd like to share?
There's so many, and I'm sure every year, every quarter, I probably have one or two. But this year in particular, you know, I had a lot of things come to me, you know, a lot of problems come to me to be solved that I had to take responsibility for as, you know, the CEO of the company. And, you know, really, I had to step back and say, okay, what's my plan? How am I going to do this? These are the people that I need to buy into this. Not employees. These are other companies that had to work with me to resolve these problems. And a lot of people said, you're never going to do this. You'll never get a bank to say this. You'll never get a customer to say this. You'll never get a vendor to say this.
I just love it when someone says
nobody told me no this whole year.
Oh.
If they even hesitated, I found a way. Okay, well, what if we do it this way? And so, but it wasn't what I found at the end of the day, when I looked around the room and I looked around at all the people that I work with day to day and talk to that work within the company, it was because of them that we succeeded, because there were times that I couldn't be there every day, that they carried on, they followed the plan, they knew the direction, they'd worked with me long enough to know what my decisions would be. And they knew to cover themselves in case that wasn't what they should have decided and just say, listen, you know, this is what we're doing for this time being. And, you know, if we have to change it, we'll change it. But when I looked around the room, I realized that all the years that I had put in to the company and therefore to the people that worked there were actually coming back to me, that they trusted me in a time that nobody should have really trusted me. Honestly,
all the
powers that be would have looked at me and said,
right, flicked you off. Too bad we don't have Skype. We could show what you just did. It's like boom. Okay.
And so that's really at the end of the day what brought us through that time was that the people that worked there trusted me. And we trusted each other. It wasn't that they just trusted me. They trusted EDG and what we had created together. Because with the managers that are there, I mean, we created this together.
And what a component to this, which to me is very real, you are a female CEO. And you have kids and they're busy and active and you're cheerleading this and you're doing that and you're a Wildcat fan and you're flying here. So what have been some of the, I don't know, there's no magic bullet. There's nothing that any woman could say how she balances it. But what are the things that you remind yourself of and that your kids stay mindful of when you do have to travel? Because that's a reality and you're their mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been really fortunate. My mother lives very near, and so
awesome. She's
always on call. But really, for a long time, at the beginning of EDG, I didn't travel. I didn't travel a lot. So that's why, I mean, my kids are getting older, and so I'm able to do that. But and I don't think that I've ever communicated this to my children or anyone that works at the company, but, I mean, this goes full circle with the company culture and just how I live my life is that, you know, you work hard and you have to play hard. So all of these things that I do, it's almost like a distraction because if I stopped, I would go, whoa, okay, this is way too much. Maybe I need to sit down for an hour. I've never believed in that because that's how you get through all the difficult, that's how you get through the difficult things. It's like, you got to have the fun stuff. If you're having a day that's hellacious. You have to be able to like run out of that office and go watch somebody do cheerleading because you need that.
That's right.
I need that game. Right. I need that Wildcat game. Don't take that away from me.
I need to just cheer. We're just going to love our Wildcats and come back next year.
That's right.
This is Wildcat country here in the Southwest and don't you forget it. So that's a wonderful thing to share. And I think it is, it's how you show up in life. It's not a separation. It's not work and it's not home. It's an integration of all those things. And I think that's key for people to remember and try not to stumble over it or make it hard. So I want to ask you this, and this just popped into my head. With all of the very strong, clear corporate values that you don't preach about, you live, have you ever fired a customer and said, you are just really not the right match for us? Has that, or do you try to work it through? There's sometimes that's a good thing. Have you ever just said, you know what, you're more trouble than it's worth? And here's why. You don't have to name the names here on.
I don't think that they would think they were fired. And that's the key. That basically you just hone down your program so it makes them difficult to want to choose you to do business with. You just basically lay out your terms, you know, in a nice way.
Right.
And say
right.
These are the things that we're doing, or we can do it within these parameters. And then if they don't like that, they choose something else. But for the most part, we have really good working relationships with our customers.
And you set the stage for that from the beginning. And I think that's huge. What about the, I always try to ask this of people that are living consciously like you are, and my guests are not invited to be on the show if I don't think they are, because it's my show and I love that part. But what do you think some of the biggest challenges we face as a planet are right now? And I know that you're a solution to some of them, but do you ever sit and think, I feel like we've got to get a handle on this one, and if we integrated this in the company, we could make a bigger splash. Do you have anything you want to share with us about that?
I think that is probably the most overwhelming topic because there's so many things out there, and I tend to compartmentalize things that are so overwhelming. And something that we did this year that we talked about at the manager's meeting that was really an idea of one of the managers came to me and said, you know, our name of our company is Environmental Development Group, but I know what we do in the field, but what are we doing as a company, like day to day?
I was like, are you selling a green product or green from the inside out?
And I was like start looking around my office at the things that I have that I shouldn't.
No water bottles.
Yeah. Please. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's really, I think, what's key. I mean, rather than looking at the problems and what's so overwhelming and saying, what can I do as an individual? Because I don't need you to completely revamp your life. That'd be great. You know, change everything you're doing. But if you can make those little changes every single day in just something and be consistent about it, you know,
it's my mantra.
I mean, if we all
small steps, big impact.
If we all decided that we were going to use recycled paper, the whole entire world,
What an impact there would be. And, you know, I've been talking about and putting Facebook posts up about the tsunami and the, you know, it depended on what report you read, but I read several that said it was 20 million tons of debris got swept into the ocean, and it's starting to show up on the shores of Hawaii, and it's scheduled to start showing up in San Francisco. And one of the blogs I read said it was plastic forks, plastic knives, plastic spoons, plastic bottles, plastic bags, a lot of it, not all of it. I mean, there were cars and refrigerators, mm-hmm. and we know how tragic that was. But what if in the small steps, big impact, there wasn't any of that? It wouldn't be floating in the ocean. So to me, that is key. And I have interviewed some really, really big companies on this show, and they're selling a green product. Not green from the inside out. Oh my gosh, did the time fly?
It flew.
Oh my God.
You knew it would though.
What's up with that, Mr. Green? It's out of time. Stacy Spink from the Environmental Development Group, the CEO. She rocks it. I hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast. Please connect with us at mrsgreensworld.com. This podcast will be up tomorrow. So if anybody missed it, we'll be sending that out to the world. Stacy, thanks so much for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
And for what you do to the planet. We are really, really proud of our relationship with you.
Thanks.
Make it a great green week.